welcome to the Cloud Computing Show. My name is Gary Ornstein, host of the Cloud Computing Show, and joining me today as co-host is Edgard Capdevielle, founder and principal of the Cloud Strategy Group. Good morning, Edgard.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Great, thank you. And also as our guest today is Robert Gribnow, the Vice President of Sales at CD Networks. Hello, Robert.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
Good morning. So we wanted to focus this show today on really the networking side of cloud computing, and particularly the merging of the content delivery networks with the networking and cloud computing side of what's happening in the industry. Edgard, as someone who's been close to this for the last few years, why don't you give us a little bit of a state of the market here and how these cloud computing worlds and CDN worlds are really coming together?
Yeah, absolutely. The idea here is to introduce CDNs and WAN optimization technology as key components of the cloud and modern web architectures. And Gary, we can argue that this whole movement started way back in 07 when Akamai acquired NetLeaf for its web application services, combining kind of a CDN of or application acceleration with applications and cloud computing. Later in January of 08, Microsoft licensed some technology from Limelight Networks to build their own CDN. It's now called the Edge Content Network, and it's part of the Azure services that they also announced later in October of 08. In June of 08, Robert and I, CD Networks and Nervonix respectively, announced a partnership where we cross-sell our CDN and cloud storage services. And later in November, Amazon announced their CloudFront service, which is a very basic CDN service, part of AWS, basically serving static S3 objects. The same month, November, Mozo, which is, as you know, Rackspace cloud computing offering, announced a partnership or an integration with Limelight Networks. So we see a trend of evolving partnerships and coalescence of technologies, mainly cloud storage, cloud computing, and CDNs. Even Google, they haven't made a formal announcement, but there's been a lot of rumors in the blogosphere about the Google Global Cache. So you can see that from a market trends announcements and partnerships, CDNs and the whole WAN optimization world, faster delivery of content, but also applications, is definitely going to be a key component of the cloud. It has been for a while, and it's going to probably continue to be. If you wanted to make some venture out some guesses for the future, you would argue that the content delivery market, at least the application side, is going to be very different as cloud computing matures. And yeah. I'd love to hear what Robert's take on that is.
Robert, go ahead. Give us some input from your perspective on these merging of these two worlds.
Yeah, sure. First of all, and maybe a little bit more controversial than most, but I think the cloud computing is nothing new. It's just a new name for what ASPs have started back in 99 or 98 even. In 2000, when I joined Microsoft back in Europe, I was dealing with all the folks that were hosting applications and hosted Exchange and all that already on the web. Back then already, it was seen as the OS, the operating system, where the browser actually will replace the OS over time. So I think nowadays, with most people having access to a high connectivity at their home and pretty much on their device or anywhere, it's becoming finally reality where the browser will provide you access to the content. Now, in order to get that content, expedited and aggressively over the web in a good user experience, basically flawless, and to mirror the performance that you would get on your operating system, content delivery networks and storage networks are crucial by being able to deliver a multitude of bits and bytes over that network and getting it to a data center very close to the end user. So it's I think it's something that is it's kind of the third generation ASP, if you like, but it's a motion that's been put in progress ever since early 2000, late 99. It's enticing to see now many of the larger companies moving towards that direction as well, because that will clearly significantly speed up the process and adoption of cloud computing as such.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem really like a natural extension. If I'm a developer who wants to place my application in the cloud and then let that cloud provider handle the scaling for me, the last thing I want to do is come in and then worry about what kind of CDN requirements I need separately from that. So,
yeah, so exactly. So you see the CDNs and companies like Nervanix focus on the building the infrastructure, if you like, on the network layer and having the ASPs or the folks that are building the applications really focus on what they're best at doing, which is the presentation layer.
Right.
They don't need to care. They don't need to worry where their end users are located. They don't need to worry about the skill and the performance of the network. So we basically now start taking the logic, where normally the logic resided on a single instance in a data center somewhere, where most likely where the company was located. Now these CDNs take the logic layer as well as the presentation layer, that to the edge. And if you're in Japan, you want to build your BMW, for example, out of Germany, rather than going all the way over different networks to the German server to get to the car configurator, you actually get that logic now hosted locally to you. And as you can see, it will have a significant response time improvements. And
right.
This is where those distributed networks are going to really become a very, very handy and efficient way for enterprises to deliver their content.
Now you use a careful choice of words there, I believe, in terms of logic as compared to just static content. Is there substance behind that differentiation in your perspective, and can you fill us in?
Yeah, very much so. Since the early CDN started out in 97, it was always about delivering larger and smaller objects, static objects, one-on-many relationship objects. So your the image on CNN.com or the pictures of Obama's inauguration. An image that was repeatable for many people, but just, you know, often was too large to provide a quick response time. So the traditional CDNs have been focusing on improving the performance of those kind of static images that were repeatable images for many of the end users by copying that content and delivering it over their edge infrastructure to the end user requesting the content. The dynamic or the application layer, the dynamically generated content, but also the logic, so the actual processing power behind what you're going to be able to see on the website when you, in particular Gary, or me in particular Robert or Edgar, click on a piece of content. Now you see that logic being moved to the edge as well. And it's critical because if you look at, for example, a car application or a car generator again, it's very resource intensive. There are different colors, it spins around, you can configure the wheels, for example. And if you were to just host only the output, first of all, you're going to get a very poor caching result because your color combination with that particular angle of the car, with that particular wheel, you know, there may be only one person requesting that particular configuration as such.
Right.
So that's typically content that's not very cacheable.
Right.
Cacheable content is content that needs to be repeated, and a lot of people requesting the same object or the same view in this particular one over and over again. So what we started doing as early as last year or the year before in Akamai as well, we've taken out that logic to the edge. So when you click on a particular color, rather than getting the request all the way back to a data center somewhere remote, now we compute that if you click on this particular link, you right away get that color selected because the logic now resides in a data center to which you're already connected to, rather than that origin data center somewhere around the world, be it Japan or be it Germany or be it the US.
Right.
So you see that for whether that's generating your bank statements or whether it's generating animated figures online or your car configurator, all of that content, all of the outputs for the presentation layer was already cached, but now we're also taking that logic to the edge.
Interesting.
And the main advantage for the end user clearly is speed and reliability. The content is 100% available. The main objective for the content owner is the fact that now they don't no longer need to build out a massive backend infrastructure to scale that application for peak usage.
Right. Now, you mentioned something in the course of that about the inauguration and the pictures. We also saw a lot of things announcing, depending on who you ask, I suppose, either the greatest success or the greatest failure of online video streaming. Can you give us some input from your perspective?
Yeah, I think you know, the web has always been used to, but over the last couple of years, it's been used mainly, or at least a large, big portion of the consumption has been used to deliver video content. CD Networks is one of two or three other CDNs in this market. We participated in the inauguration delivery as well through our one of our customers called Deep Dive, where we hosted the show on behalf of the Oprah Winfrey Show. We've also done, as recently as late last year, we've done all the streaming for the Olympics in Asia-Pac using a new technology, which is a hybrid peer-to-peer solution, where we delivered over 1.2 million streams. The year before that, we did the World Cyber Games. So we've been involved in many, many large internet broadcast events, you know, we'll keep on doing that. One of the key things for companies to choose CDNs, again, is the improved performance, and it's also the fact, where is your CDN partner located with their edge servers?
Right.
So there are only very few CDN providers out there that can deliver the content on a global scale, all the way into China, Latin America, Europe, Africa, wherever it is. And for those companies considering, you know, doing anything with cloud computing, it's always important to see where is that network located, or where are my customers located, first of all, where are the eyeballs located,
sure,
and then match a CDN that has the best coverage in doing so.
Right. So let's just cover a couple of other big news items of the last few weeks in cloud computing. One of the big ones I saw was, this might be sort of indirectly related, but Cisco and their entry into servers, I think, is in one way perhaps the most, you know, the greatest merging of data centers and networks, and we'll see what happens there. A lot of people are waiting to say that, you know, Cisco had better do something well beyond the standard server if they want to make a real dent in this market. But I think it is really relevant, particularly with the adoption of virtualization and people starting to think about moving virtual machines within a data center and across data centers. This kind of market entry and market expansion for Cisco seems natural. Edgar, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Just that Cisco's been doing a lot of investment on virtualization. They have an extremely strong partnership with VMware on the computing side. On the storage side, they also have made a lot of storage virtualization investments on both the file world with an acquisition they did a couple of years ago and in the block world. So both in storage and in compute, you know, virtualization has been a key part of their DNA or target DNA. And you know, virtualization and cloud computing are tied together at the hip. So it's making all this evolution really interesting.
Yeah, that'll certainly be one to watch. A couple of other announcements. IBM released Lotus Live, their communications and collaboration suite. But I'm still trying to figure out who's using Lotus these days. I used it years ago. I think it was about 10 years ago at a company where I was working, large company. But I'm trying to figure out where their market penetration is these days. Do either of you know?
I think it's a strategy. I think the announcement was a three-way announcement. I think there was a third company involved, which I believe was SAP. And it's really a strategy to try to revive Lotus Live. I also used Lotus about 10 years ago, back in a company that had a strong contract with Lotus at the time. And I do believe, Gary, that this is nothing more than trying to bring Lotus back to life on the part of IBM.
Yeah, well, I'm all for that. I'd like to have a little more competition in the communication and collaboration suites. So,
hey, Gary, I do think it's, you know, even though I don't think Lotus is going to be very successful necessarily by making it live or offline, I do think it's noticeable that now also a big organization like IBM is really seeing the opportunity in the cloud.
Yeah.
And for them to be able to move the functionality to the web is something that I think everybody would applaud. Same thing for Google Docs, and Microsoft announced earlier also that big portions of their new Office suite will be available as online applications as well.
Right.
And that by itself really moves towards where I started with is, you know, ultimately I think the browser will become the OS of the future.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter anymore what kind of browser you have or what kind of how old your PC is. It's going to be, to a certain extent, thin terminals or dumb terminals with a browser strong enough to do some computing locally. But most of the computing will be done on the edge or on the site where they're going to be connected to. And that by itself, for organizations, for large IT organizations that need to do upgrades of software, will be a tremendous cost savings by not having to manage a desktop anymore, but just manage an instance of an application that everybody remote has access to. Now, before that truly can become a reality, every single device that you know is in your bag and suitcase in order to be effective and communicative will need to be connected to the web one way or the other.
Right.
But if I look at my iPhone today with the, you know, over a Mac of connectivity, it very quickly then becomes fast enough and strong enough to be an access device for semi-heavy business applications.
Yep. A couple of other announcements in the cloud computing arena. Salesforce.com launched their community management application, which I think really seems to be a way for companies to harness all the communications that are happening both directly with the company but also anonymously in the blogospheres and newsgroup spheres. So it'll be interesting to watch that. And then two small acquisitions, Sun buying QLayer, which is a cloud management software vendor, and Joyent bought Reasonably Smart, which is an open source competitor to Google App Engine. So we're already starting to see consolidation here in some of these applications and management tools and platforms in the cloud computing arena, which I think is only going to continue going forward. Okay, well, let's move on to some specific questions for you, Robert, and CD Networks. Let's start off, if you could just give us a background on the company. And I know the company, I believe, was started in Asia, but now maintains a significant U.S. presence. Maybe you can walk us through a little bit of that history.
Sure, love to. Very high level. The company was founded back in 2000 in Seoul, South Korea. As you know, Korea, South Korea in particular, is one of the highly advanced markets from an IP connectivity perspective, where 100 megs to the house is more than normal. And so people use the internet in many more advanced ways than we do in the Western world, in Europe or in the U.S. Quickly, a couple years later, we opened up subsidiaries in China and Japan. And then in 2005, we opened up a subsidiary in the United States. From a revenue perspective, we're the third largest content delivery network provider. And from a network infrastructure perspective, we're probably the second largest. So with reach from Latin America and Brazil to all over Europe, United States, Russia, India, and all over Asia, including China. And so we currently operate about 70 data centers and have a network capacity of about a terabit or more. So it's a significant amount of networking and computing capacity to deliver both logic as well as the static content to any end user pretty much around the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, the CDN market can be ultra competitive. You've got the CDN-specific folks who are there. You've got some of the traditional telecom providers getting into the market, the cloud providers getting into the market. Where do you see CD Network's greatest strengths and sort of unique propositions to stand out in that crowd?
Sure, great question. First of all, most of these folks, at least in the traditional CDN space, focus on video delivery. And video delivery, even though it's resource intensive, it's still a fairly straightforward concept and solution. Where CD Networks comes in is that we still see video delivery as a major revenue driver for us, but we see the growth really in the application delivery. And so we are morphing into from a streaming provider that started out in Asia Pac to a cloud computing provider or an application delivery provider that is a globally based company with offices around the world. As far as the other ISPs and the hardware vendors, I don't fear too much about those guys. One of the value props for CDN clearly is skill. I'm sure that the Cisco can build skill, but the question is, can they build skill in all the locations where the eyeballs are located?
Mm-hmm.
And for the carriers, can they be on multiple networks? A CDN, you go for a CDN not only to have skill, but also to be on very close to your end users. in order for you to be close on the end users, you have to be on multiple networks around the world. And we're on as many as 40 different networks. So why hasn't an AT&T or an internet been very successful, or level 3 been very successful in this space? It's because it's a single network carrier. So they will reach a particular group of eyeballs, but in order to deliver content to a carrier in China, level 3 doesn't have a network there. So you see a significant reduction of effectiveness for those ISPs and carriers being able to deliver content truly around the world. So I think the ISPs and the let's say the hardware manufacturers will be a local competitor to a certain extent for companies that mainly do business locally. Our target market, however, has been global companies that that have a global install base, and there you're really only competing with, in our case, with Akamai. So I would see, even though the market currently has about 40, maybe even 50 different CDN providers, on our day-to-day business, it's really only one or two folks that we're competing with.
Right.
Very heavily.
Let me give you the partner perspective on CD networks, Gary and Robert. As you guys know, I recently left Nervonix, and I met Robert early, I would say, in between February and May of last year, when Nervonix was looking for a CDN partner, and the key need, as you guys would expect, is cloud storage. When a specific object has high demand, it's much better to be kicked off to a CDN. The nature of our customers was very global indeed, and I was particularly impressed with CD networks. Number one, the global nature. Number two, the breadth of services. And you know, it was not well known in the U.S., but like Robert said, CD Networks is the number three CDN in the world, and again, we need to satisfy very global clients. So that's why Nervonix picked CD Networks, and that's why Robert and I got to work together on that particular partnership.
Got it, Robert. You indicated this a little bit, and we talked about it earlier. The difference between streaming and static content versus logic, and how CD Networks is moving more into that arena. One of the questions I had for you is if you could describe some of the key market areas in terms of what the customer use cases are, maybe, and if you want to differentiate between, you know, the traditional core areas for CD Networks and perhaps some of the new emerging areas for CD Networks, that would be fine too.
Sure. So traditionally, we've been focusing a lot on the streaming. Being a Korean company where pretty much everything is done on the web, and streaming is key. Hence, we've also been the first CDN to announce a live peer-to-peer offering. So streaming will always be very close to our heart as far as business and revenue. It currently represents probably about 50% of our global revenue base. What we've been doing, though, lately over the last, I would say over the last 18 months, is we've been focusing on different verticals as well, mainly because the video vertical, social media, and media itself is so competitive and so infested with so many different CDNs. We're focusing now, where's our real strength of the platform? And that's, again, the skill, but also the security features around it and our ability to deliver static content. So where 90% of the CDNs focus only on video delivery, and we can actually also very effectively deliver secure static objects. So some of the new verticals that we've been very efficiently and effectively going after is, for example, the retail space, where everything is about the user experience. The attention span of a shopper on a retail site is extremely short, and just simply because you can get the content pretty much anywhere. If you don't get it on Amazon, you will get it on another website.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to be able to help those retail companies, we deliver them and we guarantee them 100% content availability, a guaranteed performance of how their site will perform leveraging CD Networks infrastructure. And those companies that have been switched over to CD Networks infrastructure, they've seen a significant drop in response times, or a significant improvement in response time and significant drop in customers actually abandoning at the moment that they wanted to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study done that if it takes longer than 15 seconds for a page to load, customers would go away and abandon the purchase.
Right.
We can bring that down in many cases to well under half a second. So a significant improvement, and therefore you see a lot more repeat customers coming back to that particular site. So that's something where we deploy a secure socket layer technology and deliver basically all their static images.
Mm-hmm.
We've been also working lately with some of the financial companies to be able to speed up the processing of generating their bank statements and credit card statements. And that's where you go much more into the dynamic content, simply because your credit card statement is not the same as mine. It's not by definition cacheable,
right?
Because it changes on an instant basis. So we've deployed technologies and working closely with some financial companies to generate these statements on the fly, where you basically click view statement, it then gets generated. Now that logic is being moved to the edge to reduce the origin infrastructure. So three key areas: traditional video streaming, secure or non-secure object, static object delivery for your retail customers, and now going into the financial space with more of the application delivery as well.
Very interesting. We talked a little bit before about the merging of storage and CD networks. I'm curious how it, maybe we can take a greenfield opportunity for you to just describe some of the technical implementations of how it works and how a customer would deploy this. Say I'm building a new website. I know I'm going to have high demand for my content. I've got a lot of content. I want to host that content in the cloud. I also want CD networks to help me distribute it worldwide. What would be your advice to somebody basically architecting from scratch in terms of how to set that up, and what would the deployment look like?
Yeah, great question. And that's also why we partnered with Adkurt and Nirvanix about a year ago. So we're really good at delivering the content through the data centers. But the capex required to host major, very large files that require terabytes and terabytes of data, that's something that that Nirvanix did for us. So the partnership with Nirvanix in particular is we are very closely linked through a data center cross-connect. So basically we're located in multiple data centers in the same spot where they provide the large files. They feed that automatically into our edge, and we deliver it out of the edge. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and then so then at that point, the customers are still basically interacting with both companies' CD networks for the content delivery bill, so to speak, and Nirvanix or the cloud storage provider of choice for the capacity bill.
That kind of depends on the where the customer request originated from. If it's a customer that came to CD Networks for a particular request, they would only be dealing with us, and we deal with Nirvanix at the back end.
Okay.
If it's a customer that wants to keep those services separated, that's fine as well, and then your scenario is what counts. I think part of your question was how do you develop an application with the CDN and storage in mind. Basically, a lot of the limitations from before were your page could not be larger than so much for it to adversely affect performance. Most of those restrictions have gone away now with the use of a CDN and or a Nirvanix cloud storage solution, because most of that skill that's necessary is no longer a burden on that origin infrastructure. And now what needs to happen is make sure that the origin infrastructure is always reachable, so that a CDN can always fetch the latest content. What happens if the origin is down? The CDN typically would serve still content. So for retail customers that are 100% or near 100% dependent on their web presence, we actually have the ability to, if the origin is no longer reachable, which normally we would use to update the content, we sense that, and we get an error response back from the origin infrastructure, and we serve out the most recent still content that we have in cache, and therefore guaranteeing 100% availability to the end users at least.
Right.
Now, they may not have the latest graph or the latest pricing because the origin infrastructure is not available at that point,
mm-hmm.
But it's a lot better than the site being unavailable completely and truly missing revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, I wanted to ask Robert a question about kind of evolving trends. I wanted him to put on his futurist hat and look at the future at 2009 and 2010 and tell us what should we expecting from not only from CDN networks but also from the CDN industry and its continued dance, if you will, with cloud computing. What are we going to be surprised by in the next couple of years?
Well, on the CDN network side, and I think maybe a handful of other CDNs, it will really be the push for you not only to host now your static images, but also your whole web application. that by itself, I think we've spoken about quite some time now. There will be also a collaboration with kind of surrounding services, if you like, DRMs or security around for digital rights management, reporting, so you know not only that your customers are located everywhere, but where in particular and which zip code are they located and which particular file was the most popular. So you're seeing a bundling of services around hosting your application that enables you as a decision maker or as a content owner to be much better informed about what the buying behavior or the serving behavior is of the end user. And CDN Networks in particular does that through partnerships with either Wi-Fi or the platform to really determine what the end user behavior is and feed that back in a portal, basically an eye on all of your content. So most of the CDNs have a portal in which you can log in and get your regular data about how much have I consumed, what's my bill going to be, but also what is my customer doing, where they're located, which content are they viewing, for how long did they view the content, at which particular frame during a video, for example, did the end user drop off. So you can tailor then your content to maximize the effectiveness of that particular piece of content.
Basically, you're really providing a lot of intelligence and smarts there so customers can do more targeted advertising or just better understand their segments.
Exactly. And I think the CDNs, we're about to launch a partner program that's also running around an ecosystem. That's a term that's been used more often in the space. An ecosystem meaning that you have from basically creating the content through publishing and monetizing your content, you have different partners throughout the stage where delivery of the content is one of the last ones. So we have teamed up with companies that can do web design. We've teamed up with companies that have advertising services. We've teamed up with companies that can secure the content, and we deliver the content to the end user. So it's a ecosystem of partners, and it makes it a lot easier for larger corporations to deliver content around the world because we can be much more of a one-time, one-stop shop and not managing everything in-house, but at least through one contract with partners such as Nirvanix and others.
Great. Well, I think that's a really good wrap-up of the activity in the CDN market and CD network specifically. So I'd like to move on to the closing elements of the show here. One section that I like to throw in is one on cloud tips where we get a chance, if there's any suggestions, to throw in some favorite cloud applications that we might be using. I'll kick it off. One of the things I've been doing a lot recently is, you know, always sharing more files, particularly as you get into multimedia. And all of the Cloud Computing Show podcasts are hosted on Box.net. I know there's many online storage providers out there at the consumer level, but you know, if you haven't used one of these yet, it just makes life so much easier with instead of emailing or FTPing or so forth. So I just wanted to put a note in for Box.net. Edgar to Robert, I don't know if you have any favorite cloud applications that you wanted to just mention to the audience.
I use a consumer application that I guess most of us use. It's LinkedIn, but I've been particularly impressed lately by LinkedIn Groups and LinkedIn Answers. There's a lot of expert advice and content that you find in the LinkedIn Answers and a lot of interesting connections you can make through LinkedIn Groups. So I've been spending a lot of time using those services.
Neat.
I think my most favorite application is actually very close to home, which is my Outlook Web Access, which is it's maybe not as scalable as a large internet available application because it's typically related to your particular one, but we're actually hosting our email with Rackspace, and it's a large shared service, and I use that always when I'm on the go to quickly log into my email and pretty much get the entire infrastructure that I would have on my desktop, but now through the web as well.
Excellent. Well, at this point, I'd like to wrap up. Thanks, Edgar, very much for co-hosting today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Robert, thank you so much for joining us. Can you let listeners know the best places to follow up for more information about CD Networks?
Sure, Gary, it was a pleasure to be on the show. Best information for CD Networks is cdnetworks.com, and CND as in content delivery, so cdnetworks.com and or info@cdnetworks.com for any questions you guys may have. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Well, thanks to everybody for listening. For more information, you can visit us at thecloudcomputingshow.com or email at thecloudcomputingshow@gmail.com. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.